ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome in to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hello, everyone. I'm Frank LaRosa, along with my buddy Scott Marsh, and we're going to talk about golf for the next hour. Scott, what do you think about that?
I like that idea a lot. So it's my favorite hour of the week.
You know, Scott, with your schedule with the Kings and UC Davis and everything you've had going on this season, you haven't played a whole lot of golf, and I've been out there playing alone. So I'm looking forward to the end of the basketball season where we can play some golf here.
We need to get back. I need to be back with you and Clark and all our friends and playing some golf again.
Exactly.
G-Man.
The G-Man, yeah. Yeah, it's always fun when we get him out. You know, as I said, we're going to talk about golf for the next hour. You know, there's so many subjects we can talk about. The game of golf is changing so rapidly. I'm beginning to wonder whether this current format will actually sustain the game with the LIV Golf having siphoned off some of the players and the PGA Tour playing with a lot of names that people don't recognize. They're in playing incredible golf, and they have some beautiful swings. But, you know, the notion of one fighting the other, you know, we've seen this before in the history of the AFL and the NFL and you know, the final merger. So who knows what's down the road, but I, for one, certainly hope they kind of get this resolved sooner rather than later.
I hope so, too, because it's interesting. You know, it's such a dichotomy. The game itself has never been in a better place with the growth of the game and coming out of the pandemic at the player level, and the course level. But I feel like the state of the game at the pro level is at one of its worst stages it's been at in a long time, just from a watching standpoint. And it's going to be really interesting to me next week, as all the eyes of the sports world will be at Augusta, Georgia for the Masters, if that will kind of bring everybody back together, or what that feels going to be like for the second year of having all the LIV and PGA golfers together again.
Yeah, it's confusing, and we don't like confusing. We like things to be easy. We like things to be, you know, somewhat as they were before. So when we, you know, turn the Masters on, we know who's going to be there. Our favorites are going to be there, and who knows? You know, it's as you say, it's all to be determined next week when we. When we get to this time of year and the sun begins to shine and the birds begin to sing, it's Masters time. And it as you say, it's one of the most exciting weeks in golf.
Oh, it's just very, very, very special. And obviously the Masters trumps everything in the world of golf, and that will be well viewed. It's just it's interesting. If you look at just the ratings for golf, they're down so far this year. And I think people are having a hard time finding golf. I mean, they know where the PGA is, of course, but LIV doesn't really have a big time TV presence. And so, you know, that'll get figured out over time eventually, but golf at that level is kind of in need of its next big star. And Scottie Scheffler is playing some great golf. There's no doubt about that, but I don't know if he's captured the mind of the public at Tiger has, or Rory yet, or some of the other true marquee names.
As I was watching him the other day, that's what was going through my mind. You know, he is the number one, and he keeps being introduced as the number one player in golf. And he's not, you know, the name recognition like Tiger or Rory. And you know, those, I suppose Scotty will be a one word name at some point too. And he does play incredible golf, but you're right. We need those heroes. We need to, need to know that when we turn it on, that they're going to be there. You know, having been to the Masters yourself, do you watch it differently now?
For sure. Because there's just certain holes you can't see on TV, having walked the entire course, that you get the vantage points of where they're hitting from. You know, that long par five on two, it actually is a massive dogleg left, and you would never know that watching it on TV. The biggest thing is the undulations. It is the hilliest course I've ever walked, and you can't see that or appreciate it on TV. one, you really feel like you're going on a moon crater and back up till you get to the putting green, but you just don't see that because the drives are hitting it well over that crater in the middle of the fairway straight to the top level. So there's just so many things you see. And then of course, just the visual, you know, seeing the live colors in person. The TV does a great job with HD and all of that, but still it's a different experience when you're there in person.
Yeah, and ready to go back again?
I'm really disappointed I'm not going back this year. I'm really feeling it already, to be honest with you.
Well, you're one up on a lot of people.
That's for sure.
Yeah, on the show today, Russ King, who's the NorCal rep for Callaway Golf. Russ has been with Callaway 30 plus years. He knew Ely Callaway, the founder and the namesake, and we'll talk a little bit about that and about all the new equipment that that Callaway has in store for us this year. Alex Cooper, PGA, is the Director of Youth, Family, and Adaptive Golf for the City Golf Courses. As you know, my grandson, we registered him for the Tots on the Tee program, which is 3 and 4 year olds learning the game of golf. It's really, really interesting. And it kind of got me thinking, you know, there are probably other parents and guardians out there and grandparents who would love to see their kids in the game as well. So I thought we'd talk about that and how they can get their kids involved.
I think that's a great idea. And I know you're having a lot of fun with Austin right now, getting him introduced to the game.
It is indeed. And Saturday mornings at 11, that's our time.
That's a great time.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We're going to have all of that and more coming up on this edition. So stay with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Thanks for listening. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa along with my partner Scott Marsh. And Scott, I always enjoy having Russ King with us. You know, here's a guy that's been with a Callaway company almost as long as it's been in existence. I mean, he's been there 30 plus years, and he has some stories, and we're going to find out some of them today. Russ King, NorCal regional rep for Callaway Golf. Welcome, Russ.
Good morning, Scott and Frank. How are you guys?
Doing great. Doing well.
Good. As Scott says, when we get a chance to sit around and talk about golf, what would not be good?
Yeah, especially exactly. Now.
You know, Russ, I've sort of alluded to the fact that, I mean, you're, I suppose you could almost be called a lifer there. I mean, I don't know that I've ever asked you, did you have a life before Callaway? I mean, was there something between college and Callaway?
Yeah, for a brief time, I was an independent rep in the area, and I had a bag company actually out of San Jose, a concept bag, and brilliant idea. It was manufactured over in Korea. I had a bunch of independent reps here in the country selling it, but the manufacturing process over there was subpar, to say the least. The product had a lot of problems, and the Callaway Golf was just starting to blow up. The Big Bertha came out in January of 1991, and I had the opportunity to interview for this job in late 1992. And so I shut the company down that was having so many manufacturing problems, and took this route, and it turned out to be a good one. Yeah, so I'm on year. This is, I just starting year 32. So 3 months into the 32nd year. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You mentioned the Big Bertha. What an iconic name, and boy, that certainly, certainly changed the direction of golf club manufacturing, and everybody wanted to get that hot new club and look for where the company is today. I mean, you think about how, you know, its humble beginnings and Ely, and we can probably talk a little bit about him in a minute, but the company has certainly blown up to, you know, to include balls and gloves and shoes and apparel and head covers, and is a worldwide leader in the golf business right now.
Yeah, we've come a long ways, and it's funny looking back, because that club was actually really difficult to produce back then. Trying to make an oversized driver out of stainless steel, which at the time, that was before titanium, which a lot of people don't realize, and TaylorMade was the first one to do a metal driver, but the metal was not a real strong metal, but that was all that was available at the time, was 17-4, and it was a real big process just to try to make that original Big Bertha, which is the size of a 5-wood now. But back then, with limited metals and materials, that was such a tribulation. I think Ely almost ran out of money. We had our Japanese distributor come in, Sumitomo, and invest, and GE invested, and it took a lot longer than they anticipated to develop that club. And you look at the materials now, and it's a whole different world.
You know, Ely's story is not unlike Carsten Solheim's story at Ping. You know, a guy that just had this kind of idea that was a little off center, and you know, went out and started peddling his golf clubs, and look what it's become. What kind of a guy was Ely, as you remember?
Yeah, he was one of those dynamic guys. When you're fortunate enough to spend any time around him at all, he leaves a lifetime impression. He's one of the, you know, anything he touched turned to gold. The story of how the company came, and I'm not going to draw out on it, but he was actually playing golf at the Vintage Club down in Palm Springs, where he was a member, with a couple of guys he got hooked up with that had hickory shafted putters. And it was a novelty company that these guys had started to sell hickory shafted putters and wedges, and they were losing money hand over fist. And Ely on the golf course made a deal to buy the company from those guys for $330,000. It was called Hickory Shaft USA. And they sold that product over the phones for the first 7 or 8 years before the big birthday came about. But that's how Callaway Golf started. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Sold it over the phone. Boy, has technology
So
changed
he sold hickory
everything.
shafted putters and wedges over the phone. That was the first 7 or 8 years of Callaway Golf. Yeah, through the late 80s. The first wood that came out was a small little S2H2 wood in 1988. And then the iron came out in 1989. And then, like I said, the company changed forever after the birth in 1991.
And
And
as I
then.
remember, there was a connection between Ken Morton Sr. And Ely Callaway, and Ken, you know, listened to his pitch and decided, well, I'll give this a try and try some of these, and a lifelong relationship had developed.
It's a pretty legendary story on my side of the fence in the industry. Yeah, the Big Bertha at the time was a pretty radical golf club, and it was very expensive. So I want to say the retail price was $229 back in the early 90s, when most high-end drivers were selling for $150 or so. And the club looked different. It didn't have a hosel. And it was not an automatic buy for a lot of pros. And Ken Morton Sr. saw the product and saw how innovative it was and bought 400 of them. It was one of the biggest orders the company had ever seen.
Wow.
So that cemented our relationship with the Mortons forever. Yeah.
These stories that come out in casual conversation that you know change the direction of many people involved, the companies, so on and so forth. They're really fun to kind of uncover. I appreciate you telling us that. You know, you've, as we said, have been with the company for 30 plus years. You've seen a lot of changes, and it must mystify you as well to see what your engineers do at Callaway every year. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know whether you were the first to use AI, but you certainly were the first to talk about it. I would imagine you were, but that's really developed over the last couple of years, and is now in the new product as well.
Yeah, it's interesting when you say what the engineers, you know, do, and it's more of what the engineers don't do now, because they're really almost taken out of the equation. The AI, it almost, you know, it's used so much, it almost becomes a marketing cliche. But when you're close to it and you see the results, it's actually pretty fascinating. Machine learning, how the engineers will input a concept and then just stand back, and the machine will do millions of prototypes and calculations for months. And it will literally test itself, change a few grams of metal here and there, retest itself, make millions of prototypes. And by the time the whole process is done and we build a prototype based on what AI is telling us to do, and we test it, the numbers are identical to what the computer said is going to happen. Yeah, but it's, you know, and the face on our new driver, you know, it just looks like anybody else's driver face, but behind it, there's all kinds of technology that's really hard to get your head around. And the results speak for themselves. It's amazing. But
Paradigm AI Smoke is the new driver, right?
Paradigm AI Smoke, yeah. Best ball speeds we've ever had by far, off the center of the golf club. It's pretty amazing. So we've been working with this AI now, I think, since 2018. So every year we invest more into it's not really a computer. I'd call it, Frank, more of a building of data banks and microprocessors. It's literally the size of a small building. And we have a contract team that comes down and helps input the data. It's such a big, sophisticated machine and process. But I think the original investment in it was $11 million, and we are closer to $15 million into that supercomputer now just to help develop product. But the results are paying for themselves big time. Yeah, this new driver is the best we've ever had for your average golfer hitting it on the toe or heel.
You know, that's the notion that that clubs can make you a better player. That's really coming to fruition with this notion of being able to hit it all over the face and still have a pretty good ball flight and a straight ball flight as well.
Yeah, and you know, it keeps the USGA happy. They still test all of us. It's called characteristic time, where they use a device to test the ball speed off a precise point on the center of the driver. And the challenge for all the OEMs is to make that ball speed as close at that center point as far away from the center as possible. And this is the best we've ever been able to do with the AI Smoke by far. I mean, if we had ball speeds that were close to a center hit, a quarter or 3/8 of an inch off center just a few years ago, we were elated. And with this new AI Smoke, we're having ball speeds, almost 3/4 of an inch off the center that are within 75% of a center hit, which is just, you know, unimaginable just a few years ago.
Scott, how's that make you feel? Know you can hit it all over the face.
I love the word smoke and all over, because that's usually how I hit it.
There's a dream combo for you.
It is. You know, AI has become such a buzz phrase in every aspect of life now, right? Can you explain that a little bit, just in terms of the golf world and what we're talking about?
And I don't, you know, that's what I said. It's almost become a marketing cliche, Scott, but I don't, you know, we're the only ones, I think, that, you know, from what I understand, that generally use AI. There's a lot of CAD CAM design, which is real high-end computer enhanced assist, you know, these elaborate software programs that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I think we have the only genuine machine learning computer in the industry. But it's pretty fascinating, because the engineers really, once they put the concept in place, they check out, and then the machine will just run for months. And it's just incredible. Yeah, it does let your mind wander when you hear all these crazy things about AI, you know, developing its own intelligence and being able to think for itself. And, you know, it does make you wander.
I know it's smarter than me. That's all I really need to know. I'm just curious, stepping back, because we know the technology just overall in the game of golf has gotten so much better with what's being done at Callaway and so many other fine companies in the industry. Just as somebody who's stepping back and looking at getting new equipment, whether it's just looking solely for a driver or a whole set, just to kind of put it back to its basics, what are some of the things, just for a golfer who's trying to get themselves set up directly in this era of 2024 golf, what should they really be considering as they take on this endeavor?
So it AI is incorporated in all our product development now, really except the wedge. So all the irons, the fairway woods, the hybrids all incorporate AI face. In our new AI Smoke irons, there's two versions. One is made to look like a traditional iron. It's a hollow body, but it has a nice thin top line. It's pretty to look at, still very forgiving. And then we have one called the high launch, which will have a lower center of gravity. And that's for your maybe more mid high handicap player. If you get the ball in the face anywhere, it'll pop it up in the air for you and give you really good distance. So, and those are all a product of AI machine learning.
Yeah. Wow. So fascinating, Frank. It's pretty amazing.
The world of golf, just like the rest of us, we you know, every day there's something new. The driver obviously is really incredible. Why don't you take us through the line, Russ, and talk about the fairways and the hybrids and your irons as well.
Yeah, the fairway woods, right on the coattails of the driver. It's the same kind of AI face technology to try to maximize ball speed off the center. The computers allow us to optimize discretionary weight and center of gravity, all that good stuff. Basically, just to make it easier for people that are not making clean contact to still get the ball up in the air and get a lot of ball speed. The irons, we've made great strides. You're dealing with a smaller striking surface, so it's a little more of a challenge to move metal around and discretionary weight. So these new the AI HL iron has been the one that we've seen for mid handicap players that it's really been a surprise for us. We thought that would be a club that would maybe sell, you know, half as well as the regular AI Smoke iron, and it's done 50-50. So They've both done very, very well. But again, product we couldn't develop a few years ago. We would just have had a basic stainless steel face bolted to a body with some in the body, in the bottom of the body, but it's completely changed with AI. So,
and those guys work cheaper, those AI guys, huh?
Yeah, it gets depreciated over a long period of time. But
the new Chrome Tour golf ball, you're pretty proud of as well.
Yeah, the ball has been in development for 3 years. Chrome Tour for us out on the PGA Tour has been fun to watch. It's been frustrating the last couple of weeks. Our guys have been missing putts on Sunday, and we've been missing a couple of wins here. Just last weekend, that kid from Belgium, he's got such a beautiful golf swing, Thomas Dietrich, guy we always used to love with the great golf swings, Adam Scott and McIlroy, of course, but his swing, I think, is the prettiest on tour right now. But he missed a couple putts. He's been playing the new Chrome Tour X. Shoffley, the week before that, missed a couple putts on Sunday. He loves the ball. Sam Burns, that new kid out of Australia, Minwoo Lee. So we've had a lot of conversion out on the PGA Tour, and the ball's been really well received. It's really a ball for better players. We still have Chrome Soft in the line. Chrome Tour does not have any relation to Chrome Soft at all. So it's a whole new ball that was developed for good players. The standard Chrome Tour, I would say, is for your golfers, Frank, hitting with a driver in the ball speed range of high 90s to 105. And then you get into the firmer ball, the Chrome Tour X, which would be for the real big hitters that are swinging over 105 miles an hour. But it's so far taken off, and it's outselling our expectations. We're back ordered our plants back in Massachusetts, and we're running 24/7, and it's about a month now to get product. Wow. Any of the new tours, which is great. Yeah. So yeah, it's been really successful right out of the gates.
You know, because it goes under a different name, the notion of the Odyssey putters, you know, kind of gets lost sometimes. The fact that it's associated with Callaway, that the putter line has been, you know, maybe one of the most successful lines of anything that you guys have done over the years.
Yeah, and this line this year goes back again. It's AI. So like I said, we've been incorporating it. Before, it was just all iron and wood development, and this was the first year we decided to use the computer, the supercomputer, and machine learning for product development in putters. And it has been a huge turnaround. So the new AI1 Odyssey putters, we actually have a window in the back of the putter so you can see the AI face. Like I said, the frustrating part about AI technology is that for most consumers, they can't visually see the technology. So we actually built a glass window into the bottom of the mallets and behind the blades so you can actually look into the putter, see behind the face, and you can see the asymmetrical surface behind the striking area that is the result of the AI technology. And it is really effective too. It's amazing. There's a bunch of YouTube channels you can get on and find these independent labs that test a very popular high-end blade against one of our AI blades on a 16-foot putt in a lab, perfect striking conditions, and they will go center, toe, and heel on a 16-foot putt with the competitor's brand and our AI1. And I believe the discrepancy difference was 8 inches between toe, heel, and center strikes. Competitor's product had about an 8-inch discrepancy, and ours was about 2. So it's really effective. Yeah, the gentleman that just, he's not a Callaway player, I can't mention his name, but that just won last weekend was using an AI1 two-ball putter. And then you guys familiar with the phenom of the Jailbird putter with Wyndham Clark and Ricky Fowler and all those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that, I think that's been the biggest sensation we've had on tour since the two-ball back in 2001. It's been crazy how that Jailbird has taken off, and it's become really kind of a muse for a lot of those guys on the PGA Tour. It's turned some careers around, and Ricky Fowler was the first one. I think he was outside the 150 on the money list. He missed the U.S. Open a couple years ago, and then he got one. I believe it was Keegan Bradley's caddy, who's good friends with Ricky Fowler, had originally got one out of our tour van, and he built one, and it totally turned his career around. And it's caught fire. Wyndham Clark, you know, you've seen what he's done with it. But the funny part about that Jailbird Odyssey putter head is it was one of the worst selling heads back when it first came out in 2014. And we actually destroyed the molds, which we never do. And we had to come back and rebuild the putter. And And it's taken off. Again, that's another one we can't keep up with production on.
Scott, sounds like it's calling your name.
I definitely have Scott written all over it. I can see that now. Can we get that into the AI system?
It is all AI face. Yep.
Like I said,
it's a little different animal. It's got a 38-inch shaft and a 17-inch grip. It's a little heavier head. It's kind of a Frankenstein compared to traditional putters. But for those guys out there, it's working very well. It doesn't work as well for me as it does for some of the guys on the tour. But definitely doing well with consumers.
Yes,
well, things are changing so quickly. I mean, it's probably an unfair question to say, you know, look down the road a little bit, but where do you see this all going? I mean, does it continue to evolve as quickly as it has? I mean, do we get to the point where, you know, the club is so good, it doesn't matter how bad we play? I mean, what's down the road?
Yeah, you know what, I like the direction it's going. I remember when the USGA first, our first driver that really terrified the USGA was called an ERC. We'd first launched it in Japan back in 2000. And the face on that was the first what we called variable face thickness. It had what we call trampoline effect in the USGA. That's when Ely Callaway first got into it with the USGA. I just see the golf clubs getting easier to play, and it's a difficult sport. I don't think I haven't met anybody that thinks the game's too easy to play. So hopefully we can just keep making golf clubs that keep people into golf.
And quite frankly, the traditionalists that are digging their heels in the sand and want to play with blades and have everybody else do that. I think the game is just much more inviting now. People find it easier to find a way to get into the game, and that's good for all of us, I think.
I agree. It's great. The resurgence in golf, it was just going in the wrong trajectory for a lot of years before COVID, and it's, I mean, all aspects of it, public golf, private golf, junior camps. There's I think 30% of the new women over the last few years, I mean 30% of the new golfers have been women. So it's just clicking on all cylinders right now. I think we're starting to see new investment with new golf properties out there. So it's exciting. It's great.
Good time to be playing. And it's a great time of the year to be playing. Russ King, NorCal rep for Callaway Golf for 32 years and 3 months, I think he said. Russ, thanks so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. I learned something, and look forward to seeing you out there on the golf course one of these days.
Thank you, Frank. Always appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Scott, take care.
Russ, can't wait to see you again, my friend.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sactown Sports 1140. Hello, Scott Marsh.
Hello, Frank LaRosa. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing better knowing we're going to be talking with Alex Cooper.
Alex Cooper is the PGA Director of Youth, Family, and Adaptive Golf for the City Golf Courses, and the reason this kind of comes to mind is, as you know, my 3-year-old grandson got involved in the Tots on the Tee program, and Alex was a great help to me getting us registered. But it's been fun to watch 3-year-olds try and learn golf. So I thought it'd be fun to get Alex on to talk about what he does and what's all involved there. Alex, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Obviously, let's get this out of the way right away. You're a PGA member, but you have an accent that's different here than Northern California. So tell us where you're from originally and how you like Northern California.
So I grew up in England. So I grew up in a small town called Ashby de la Zouche, just outside of Leicester. So if you put a pin in the middle of a map of England, you can't be too far away. It's the, I believe we are the furthest place away from the seaside at all you could possibly get in the United Kingdom. So I moved out to America almost 10 years ago. 1st of July will be my 10-year anniversary. I became a United States citizen about 18 months ago. So I can officially say I'm an American now. And I love Northern California. I think the weather is the biggest change. I can definitely say that. It's not the same as rainy and gloomy England, I can tell you that for free. But I can definitely say this is home, and I've loved my time here.
You know, you've certainly with an accent, people will turn around and take a look at you. But I think what you've developed from your personality over at your office over at Hagen Oaks, you're extremely helpful. You have a smile on your face all the time, and we appreciate what you do for both youth, family, and the adaptive golf people here in Northern California. You're a PGA member, a recent PGA member. What's that mean to you?
It's kind of, it means the world, to be honest. It's been something that I've been working towards for the last 3 to 4 years, and it's something that wasn't ever really in the plan for life, to be honest. Golf was always a passion of mine, but was never the end game for me at the start. I always wanted to get into teaching, and it's in some capacity, but it was never golf that was the primary target. And I kind of just fell into working here at Hagen Oaks when I was I went to Sac State, and one of my professors, his kids were in the programs like Tots on the Tee, and he got me in contact with Kelly Corlett, who I know you know very well, and her and Tom Morton kind of allowed me to start volunteering out here initially, and I got the bug and asked those two how can I move forward into this industry. So without those two, I wouldn't be here at all. But after 3 or 4 years of working through it, it's a proud thing for me to be able to say I'm a member of the PGA of America, and I'm excited to kind of see where the journey goes.
Well, and I'm sure they're excited to have you at the helm as well. The Tots on the Tee is a really interesting program. It's not unlike in some ways, when my kids were playing soccer in their early stages, where there was an awful lot of let's run down the field, but oh, look at this frog over here. I want to stop and take a look at that. For 3 and 4 year olds, it's a bit of a challenge to keep them focused. But I think the instructors and the volunteers do a heck of a job of giving them a fun hour. My grandson's is on Saturday mornings at William Land Park from 11 to 12, and it's a 6 week program. What can parents expect out of the program, Alex?
So the program, as you said, it's 6 weeks. I think the easiest way to describe it is it's a real introduction to the game. So it's really just introducing the kids to, one, the fun side of the game, because this is the age where if we can grab them now, golf for life is the end goal for everything. And if we can grab them now, it's the best stage to get them enjoying it and be excited. They will see they'll see all sorts from full swing to chip in, putt in. We'll do a lot of fundamental movements, so kind of motor skills activities with them just to keep it fun and run them off with a burn some energy. Because I think the best way to describe this class is organized chaos. Because like you said, it's fun, but then they'll be doing golf and all of a sudden there's a worm or there's a frog, like you said, and it's like everything goes out the window. Or some of the challenges can be as simple as trying to get them away from mum and dad for an hour, because we get all sorts of different social and athletic development stages in this group. So some kids, they run over to you, they're super excited, they're kind of like, get out of the way, mum and dad, I don't want you to be here, let's go. Whereas some kids are really clingy and struggle to come away from mum and dad to start with. But then by week three, all of a sudden, they're by your side and you're like, oh my God, okay, you're here. And then they're separate from mum and dad. And that growth is really exciting to see. But we will teach them core golf skills, but we're not going to sit there and try to explain how to have a perfect interlock grip or kind of how the club path or the club face works. It's more of a introduction. Can we get them swinging it safely? Can we get them sharing stations regularly? Can we get them interacting with the other students and us regularly? And then we will tease in like the differences between full swing, pitching, putting, chipping, and kind of different clubs and all that kind of stuff.
So there's three stations for this program, and one of them is kind of an exercise station with a lot of things to jump over and hoops and I think there's even a cornhole toss and colorful balls, footballs and soccer balls, and then another station is, and that's just kind of get them warmed up. Another station is on the driving range where they hit the birdie balls, which is kind of the plastic version of a golf club, of a golf ball. And then there's the putting and chipping station, which is colorful targets. My grandson talked about the target. He always wanted to hit the target. So there's a lot of things to kind of keep them focused and still be having fun.
Yeah, I think it's the main thing we try to make this class is fast paced. So we with this group is they have the shortest attention spans and they are distracted really easily. So we can have bright colors, loud targets. We rotate through stations every 10, 15 minutes. That kind of keeps them engaged and doesn't make it monotonous and boring for them. And I think at the end of the class, we typically always ask them which one their favorite station was. And hilariously, it's never really usually the golf station. It's always the athletic station. Yeah. They love running, jumping, throwing the balls, all that kind of stuff. And this class is the pure personification of our kind of just philosophy for junior golf as a whole. So we kind of have three pillars for it. The first and most important one is we're a people first program, then athlete second and golfer third. So it's not golfers, not last but least, but on that totem pole, it's kind of, if we can have the kids leave as great people, that's nailed it. If they come away as a better athlete, even better, because to become a good golfer, you need to be a good athlete. It's pretty difficult to be a good golfer if you're not. And then the golf stuff is third on the totem pole, still super important, but we would, especially at this age, if these kids run away at the end of class to mum and dad being like, I had the best time ever, I can't wait to come back, then we know we've done a good job. Then if they go over and say, oh yeah, no, they chipped the ball now, but that was boring, that we're not trying to go that way with it.
Scott, don't you wish someone had shown you a golf club at 3 years old?
I wish somebody had shown me a golf club when I was 20 years old. I feel like I'd understand this game a lot better. Alex, you're doing good work out there. Obviously, there's a lot to do in that respect. I'm curious, too, because I know your background from England. You're a big football fan. I'm curious about foot golf a little bit, too, and everything with Hagen Oaks and everything that's going on out there. Does that have any special interest to you?
So foot golf is something I've done a little bit. I feel like it's unpatriotic to say I've not kicked a football in a long time. But foot golf is fun, especially to be able to combine two big loves for me, golf and football, in the same space. And it's something that in the UK I hadn't seen a lot of. And then I come out here and I'm also, all of a sudden I see soccer balls flying around a golf course. I'm like, what on earth is happening? But during the summertime now, the weather's getting good. Like the Darkade Creek course here at Hagen Oaks is always really busy with foot golfers during the summer. So it's really cool to see.
No question. Hagen Oaks is the perfect place for all of that. No doubt about that. I'm curious for you, what's the biggest challenge for you when you're working, you know, with kids like that? Obviously, there's a lot of things in terms of trying to keep attention. You got a lot of fun stuff going on, but, you know, for you, when you break it down to its essence, what are some of the core things you're keeping in mind?
I think the core thing is, it comes down to the social and behavioral stuff. Like we all know working with kids, like listening skills sometimes isn't their forte, and then just having them interact and have a great time with the other kids that are there. And for us, that comes as trying to be as relatable as we can. Like we have core part of our staff are really young. So the kids love kind of being able to see people close to their age and kind of somebody that's super relatable to them. But probably the biggest challenge is, especially if you get to 3 and 4 year olds, is can we keep them somewhat listening and following safety instructions and being respectful. So in any of our classes, I'll always tell the kids on the first week, we have three rules. Rule number one is the most important one, is to have fun. That's why we're here. Golf's supposed to be fun. Rule number two is to be safe. So they've not dealt with golf clubs or golf balls before. They can find out pretty quickly. They can be quite dangerous. And then rule number three is to be respectful, not just to the coaches or the fellow kids, but to moms, dads, grandparents, whoever it was that dropped them off. So trying to keep them in line with those is that can be the biggest challenge. And I also always kind of playfully joke with them that if they can't follow any of those rules, then they can sit on the bleachers and watch everybody else play. And once they figure it out, they can join in. But they're kind of the biggest challenges of kind of constantly reminding them, especially at a younger age. It's kind of at every station you have to reiterate it because it goes in one ear and goes out the other.
Hey,
Frank, what are you finding with your, I'm just curious, Frank, what are you finding with your grandson being 3 years old?
Well, you know, it's just as Alex described, you know, one moment, especially hitting it on the range, you know, he kind of likes that. And but the exercise portion, he sometimes the mind tends to wander. But as I was about to say, you know, I find that with some of the people I play with on Saturday mornings, too. So I suppose that might be ingrained. Alex, the tots on the tee is really just, as you say, an introduction. You have so many programs that kind of take a student through the entire age group. Kind of, can you run through that a little bit for us?
Yeah, so we've been lucky in the last 2 years with boom with golf during COVID and everything else that came with it. We were able to expand the amount of junior programs we had because we found in the past we got to a point where we got to about age 12, 13, and we didn't have enough for what people wanted to continue or if they were wanting to start the game at that age. So now we're lucky where we're in a place where whether you're 3 years old, 17 years old, you're brand new, or you're playing at the elite level of junior golf, we have something for you. So we're really lucky that way that we can go through, whether it's tots on the tee or you're in our competitive pre-teen program, which is a class for 7 to 12 year olds who are playing tournament competitive golf, or you can go to our Junior Linkers program, which is on the golf course for kids 13 plus, whether they're playing competitive golf, high school golf, and we're really teaching them then to play on the golf course instead of developing their skills, which is something that we've noticed a trend of is that from when I was a kid at that age, you don't get as many kids going out and playing on the golf course on their own anymore. We were trying to figure out that why that was, but then we came to the conclusion that why don't we offer that for that age group? Like then we can have them with us, they're learning the right things and it's fun and it's fast paced and we go that way. So we're now lucky where you'll see them around Haggin Oaks. We've got them posted around all the city courses actually, but about five different spots Haggin Oaks, you'll see our youth golf pathway, which kind of tots on the tee, starts on the tee box. And then our player development program, which is our most elite program, is up by the green. And then on the green is kind of the goals for the end of the pathway, which is either golf for life, professional golf, or college golf, something like that. So it's the main goal for everybody is golf for life, whether that's recreational, professional, elite amateur golf, whatever it is. But we have this pathway that parents can then see this is how it works through. And we found that junior golf's not linear. You can be 7 years old, brand new. By the time you're nine, you're an elite junior golfer and you're playing at a really high level. Or you can be 13 years old and really new and kind of work through the pathway more straightforward. So it kind of chops and changes. And we found this pathway really helps families understand that right, this is where we can go next and kind of this is where we are right now. It kind of saves a lot of difficult questions for people that just don't know.
Alex, in your title, you talk about being the director of youth, family, and adaptive golf. Adaptive golf is certainly something that is very important at Hagen Oaks and the City Golf Courses. Tell us what that means and what that audience is.
So adaptive golf is one of the, I think it's one of the things that makes this facility as special as it is, that we offer so much to disabled golfers. I think the biggest thing that it does is it makes the game so much more inclusive. It offers an opportunity to play the game to such a much bigger audience than we have in the past, whether that's our Special Olympics program, the California Eagles, where over the two facilities they'll do it at that, if everybody showed up, we'd be close to 130 athletes, which is unbelievable for numbers. And then we have programs such as our Golf for Health program, which is a rehabilitation program for people that have suffered strokes and similar incidents. Then we've got our Angels for Hearts program, where it's kids and their siblings that have got cardiac issues, whether they were born with it or they were diagnosed later in life. It's something that they can come together as almost a mini community of people that can share similar life experiences through the medium of golf, which is probably what makes this sport so special, is that we can offer this that sports like soccer, example, can't, which is due to just the physical demands on them. But then with some of the equipment we have here, it makes it even more special with some of the adaptive golf carts. We had our first PGA Hope clinic last week, which is our program for veterans. And we had a gentleman that had an injury it was a spinal injury that's caused him to be paralyzed from the chest down. And with the Solo Rider adaptive golf cart, we were able to strap him in and secure him by his legs and his waist so that he can then now be supported and stood up and swing a golf club. So, and it's things like that that almost see those pinch me moments and go under the category of this is why we do what we do. And to be able to include people like him who in the past just we didn't have the resources or the opportunities to offer the game of golf to them that we now do, I think that's, if anybody asks me why I do what I do, that's why.
Yeah, it's really inspiring to see some of the audiences that you brought the game to. I mean, there's programs for blind golfers as well, and So the notion of the game is open to everybody, no matter what level, is really tried and true there at Hagen Oaks and the City Courses. Tell me about the family part of your title. Do you have programs for families?
So that's something that we're actually currently we don't have that we are working towards. We're trying to come up with some ideas to get kids and parents playing together. The main part of that title is that so much of, I mean, just as a department for us, we interact with the parents and the families pretty much all day, every day. And the family side comes from, can we be as informative and helpful to the families as possible? We have lots of families who played golf as kids. They understand the golf industry and understand how junior golf works. And then we also have a bunch of families that they've never been around golf or sports before. So they're coming in brand new. They've got no idea how this works. And a huge part of for us is, can we introduce your child to the game and have them love it? But then the next step is, can we get you involved? Because it's the unique part of this sport is you can play it with parents, you can play it with grandparents, you can play it 80 years old, you can play it 4 years old. And getting them to be inclusive and playing all together is kind of, if we can see, as we have done in the past, where we've got families where the kid was brand new, parents have never done it, and then 2 years later you see them out on the golf course playing together, that's the dream. So we do a couple of kind of family fun days that we've got planned, hopefully kind of tentative plans for kind of some family events where the kids and the parents at the back of our academy halls can kind of do like a summer kickoff event where we get them all out together and there's fun little games and stations that they can kind of go through together. But the yeah, hopefully the plan somewhere down the line, maybe next year, will be where we have something where the kids and the parents are together in a program with us, which would be really exciting.
So for people that might be interested in the Special Olympics program or the Tots on the Tee or the competitive programs, how do they find out more information?
We've got a couple of ways. The best way to get the fastest response would be to call our concierge desk. The phone number for that would be 9 16 808 2531. Folks at our concierge desk have all of the information about all of our player development options, whether it's junior golf, adaptive golf, private lessons, club fittings, or adult programs. You can also head to our website, hagenoaks.com, and under there you'll see a lessons drop-down tab, and then you'll see the Northern California Institute of Golf junior programs, adult programs, everything's under there.
Very much appreciated. Alex Cooper, PGA Director of Youth, Family, and Adaptive Golf for the City Golf Courses. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. And I'll let you know how I think we've been to 3 weeks of the 6 week program. I'll let you know how we graduate at the end. How's that?
Perfect. Yeah, thank you very much for having me. So I think you will actually see me out at William Mann this Saturday. So I will see you there because I will be at William Mann this weekend.
Look forward to it. Thanks so much. This is the
All
Golf
right.
Go Radio Hour. And we have more to talk about right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back in for the final segment here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Scott, as always, it's always great to have some folks to on the show to tell us things we didn't already know and kind of spread the word to our listeners as well.
Absolutely. And that's such a great program. I can only imagine what it's like to be a grandparent and have a 3-year-old grandson that you're able to go out weekly with Alex and really enjoy that and see him grow. It's got to be the greatest feeling in the world.
It is really fun, and especially for someone that has the passion for the game that I do. I'm not that kind of grandparent that I want him out there, hitting balls and learning the game. I just want him to be familiar with it, so that when he's ready, and if he's ready, and if he wants to play, he's got a little bit of skills and some some background to get him started in the game.
Is he showing that incredible Frank LaRosa chipping game yet at a young age of three?
Well,
Is he
chipping.
have a hole in one yet, Frank?
I don't think he has any of those, but he's been close, and he
All right.
does get excited. He does get excited when he does that. It's fun to see him hit the ball off the tee. We tend to go over to Bartley Cavanaugh a little bit, and I'll put him in the little net over there, and he'll take a bucket of balls and just smash them as hard as he can. It's fun.
That's awesome.
Thanks also to Russ King, NorCal rep from Callaway Golf. Russ's stories about Ely Callaway and how the company got started were a lot of fun.
It's amazing how the world of artificial intelligence has come into the manufacturing of golf clubs. That's pretty amazing to me. And I can't wait to try out the new AI smoke, you know, clubs. And like, what would be really cool, Frank, is if actual smoke came off the driver as you hit it. That's what they need to invent.
Well, I'm not sure that there's a chance of that with my swing, but yours, you know, there may well be. At least some sparks will fly, Scott. This wraps up another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We never have enough time. Sometime we're going to have to do a 2-hour show. We'll have to talk to Steve about that.
Yes, indeed.
Stay with us as we continue to do this show throughout the year. Saturday mornings always at 8 o'clock. Certainly during the basketball season, our schedule gets a little crazy, but we're here if you're there, and keep listening, and we'll keep doing what we're doing.